Hi there, it's News Talk's Andrea Gilligan here.
We talk a lot about health, but your gut is where it all begins. A balanced gut can improve everything from your digestion and energy to your immune system and even your mood. That's why Simproof, Ireland's number one for gut health, is such a game changer. And right now, for Black Friday, you can get 25% off their live and active bacteria supplement. Each daily shot is packed with billions of friendly bacteria that actually reach your gut alive and start working to restore balance where it matters most. No capsules, no powders, just a refreshing, water-based drink in four great flavours. Take it first thing each morning, 10 minutes before food or drink, and start feeling the difference. A healthy gut supports your whole body, so don't miss 25% off Simproof's 12 and 4-week programmes now at simproof.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Moncrief on News Talk.
We regularly talk about the possibility of a United Ireland and a border poll and what kind of preparation we would have to make, particularly how to woo a million unionists around to the idea. But one, at least, is already convinced. Despite coming from a staunchy unionist family, Ben Collins has thought a great deal about his Irishness and is now the author of The Irish Unity Dividend. Ben, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So I suppose the first question in everyone's mind, coming from a unionist background, a unionist family, could you tell us something about how you ended up at the position you are now?
Well, it was very much, it's been a long and interesting journey, I guess. I grew up very much in a British and unionist background, and I was determined that prior to the Good Friday Agreement, that I wasn't going to be forced into United Ireland by violence or threats of violence. But the Good Friday Agreement changed all that. I'd always felt Irish in addition to being British. And then I spent a number of years studying and then working in Britain. And ironically, living in Britain made me feel more Irish and less British. And really, it was looking at the context of things and how things were changing, looking at the Scottish independence referendum. I could see that things were changing across the British state, and then Brexit, which obviously was a huge shock, because what had been a long-term aspiration for me of United Ireland became an urgent necessity. And the fact that Northern Ireland voted to remain part of the EU, but we were taken out because of the votes essentially of people in England, I find that very concerning. Because the EU provided such a key role in terms of the peace process, the EU being a peace process project itself, but also supported the peace project in Northern Ireland for decades. And so really it just indicated to me that the time is right to take a different approach and to join up with the rest of the island in a common future within the EU.
Yeah. When you say when you were growing up, you felt both British and Irish.
Yes.
Was that in your mind maybe a slightly different version of Irishness to the one on the other side of the border?
Well, I guess the thing that was difficult is, particularly during the Troubles, is that it was hard at times to feel as Irish as I wanted to, just because of the context we lived within. There were people who wanted a United Ireland who unfortunately were taking a violent approach to that, and they were targeting people from a similar background to me because of my background and because of my religion and so on. And so it was a challenge, but there were certain things like sport, rugby, for example, even during the darkest days of the Troubles, it was something I could really feel a sense of Irishness through supporting the Ulster and Ireland rugby teams. And it was just being able to build out of that. But then as I got older, realizing I didn't have to be a particular religion, I didn't have to speak a particular language, i.e. Irish, and I didn't have to play GAA games. And I certainly didn't have to believe in the violent approaches that some people within republicanism were taking at the time. I didn't have to agree with any of that, but I could still be Irish. And then learning about things like the United Irishmen and Women, because unfortunately the school I went to in Belfast, we didn't study Irish history. I had to learn that myself. And then hearing about realizing that there was an opportunity for to have Protestant, Catholic in the centre together, me being a Presbyterian, and realizing that Presbyterians in the past had wanted to bring diversity across Ireland into a common cause in one country, that really resonated with me, and realized that I could be Irish in an equal way to the rest of those across the island.
Yeah, and from your time living in Britain, and as you say, of course, in especially in England, we're just all paddies to them. You know, they don't differentiate there at all. Did you also get a sense of in Britain, politically and just among ordinary people, did they even know the difference between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland? Did they know anything about Ireland at all, or care?
No, I think the knowledge at times could be limited. I mean, I want to be frank. I did not have any bad experience at all being in Britain, but it was just my sense of Irishness getting away. You know, I went off to university in Dundee before the first IRA ceasefire, but being able to go and study in Dundee and get to know people from across the island of Ireland in a way that it wasn't possible growing up in the Troubles in East Belfast was really liberating. And it was just my sense of Irishness was strengthened, and realizing that I had much more in common with my fellow Irishmen and women than I did with, you know, perhaps English people. Yes, absolutely, they saw me as Irish. And I just realized that there was a difference, that the sense of being brought up in East Belfast, being told you're British, and then going over to Britain and realizing whatever the supposed sense of Britishness was, I just didn't feel it whenever I was in Britain. And I think you're right. It's not that they don't care about any part of Ireland. There's a limited knowledge. Lord Alderdice, he was John Alderdice, the former leader of the Alliance Party in Northern Ireland. He's now in the House of Lords. He's put it quite well. He said it's not that there isn't a strong attachment, or they don't care about Northern Ireland and the British political establishment. It's just it doesn't cross the agenda. It doesn't cross their mind.
Within Northern Ireland, then, how much of a sell do you think a United Ireland still would be?
Well, I think there's two aspects to it. There's the identity, and then there's the quality of life. Mm. And I totally realise that for a lot of people, this is a very emotional issue. And I think, you know, if you look at the voting blocks, we have around 40% of people vote for unionist parties, around 40% vote for nationalist parties, and then 20% vote for unaligned in constitutional terms, i.e. the Alliance Party and the Greens. And so we are a region of multiple minorities. And whenever you consider that Northern Ireland was created specifically to have a permanent unionist and pro-British and Protestant majority, and it now doesn't have any of that, that's seismic itself. But I think it's the fact that people are increasingly looking at the quality of life aspects and thinking we want a better alternative. We just at the weekend, we had a GP conference here in Belfast where they voted to actually consider leaving the NHS. And we had the chair, Alan Stout, the chair of the British Medical Association in Northern Ireland, saying we need to have a discussion about an all-Ireland GP contract provision. And really, whether it's healthcare, and we can see recent reports that taking an all-Ireland approach to children's cardiac care has been transformative over the last 15 years and is now world-class. I just think across so many different areas, we can achieve so much better on an all-Ireland basis. And I think increasingly people, that resonates with them, but also by being able to fully reclaim EU membership, because that being taken away from those of us in Northern Ireland was very difficult and challenging. And any arrangements in terms of the Windsor framework that has some benefits, but is certainly not as good as having full EU membership. So I think for a lot of people, Irish unity provides a gateway back to full EU membership. And that is one of the key drivers.
Yeah. Now, there's probably a lot of practical arguments one could make, but you did allude to it yourself there, the cultural sense. Yeah. What should be done, in your view, to kind of unionists and loyalists who would be very leery about this whole idea of having their culture somehow eroded? What can one do to kind of reassure them that this won't happen? And what, more to the point, what practical steps could be put in place?
Well, I think the key thing is, the first thing we need to do is we need the Irish government needs to step up to the plate and start planning, preparing now for a border poll that I think is increasingly likely over the next decade or so. We want to avoid the chaos of Brexit, and I mean both in terms of the ongoing impacts of Brexit that Britain is suffering, and that has repercussions for all of us across this island to different degrees. But also, we want the scenario where people go into a voting booth and know exactly what they're going to vote for and what they're going to get. And that's key. And I think having those conversations and having those plans, that is one way in which we can assuage people of the concerns that they have. But it's also about providing a package of proposals for the Protestant Unionist Loyalist community. I think emphasising that the Good Friday Agreement and the European Convention on Human Rights provide safeguards for culture and rights, and those will be maintained in United Ireland. But it's also about making the point, if we look at political, for example, in the past it was said that the Old Stormont Parliament was a cold house for Catholics. I would say that Westminster has been a cold house for Northern Ireland Unionists. If you can consider the fact that no Unionist MP from Northern Ireland has been a member of the British Cabinet for 80 years since the Second World War. That's 80 years outside the corridors of power. Whereas in the United Ireland, as Mike Nesbitt, the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, said, Unionist TDs and an All-Ireland Dáil could hold the balance of power. And I think there could be a really good role for them in an Irish government after reunification. It's just not going to be possible in any British setup. And I think it's about, in terms of culture, it's about providing peace and prosperity and about providing hope and opportunity for the future. If you look at places like my own area of East Belfast, educational attainment is really low in East Belfast. And in Northern Ireland, it's lower than any other part of the UK, whereas the Republic of Ireland has the highest educational attainment in Europe, and I think it's about the second highest in the world. And that's the sort of thing that by bringing the two parts of Ireland together, there'll be benefits for everyone, including our Unionist brothers and sisters.
Mm. Should there be, in your view, should Stormont be maintained or, you know, some sort of devolution arrangement there?
I think the Northern Ireland Assembly should definitely be maintained for a transitional period of up to 10 years. But ultimately, I think in the longer term, we need to, if we're going to get the full benefits of Irish unity, we need to fully integrate in terms of our public services, in terms of our economy, education, and our political structures. So I think you'd have an All-Ireland Dáil, so you would have a significant number of Unionist TDs within that. But I think also looking at the Seanad, and perhaps changing that into one that has equal representation for the four provinces of Ireland would have a significant impact. And again, you would have a significant number of Unionist senators, I think, in that basis. So for me, the key thing is there is no such thing as a kinder, gentler form of partition. I think it's about bringing the two parts of the Ireland together. Just to give one very quick example, if you look at healthcare, for example, during the COVID pandemic, for what is a very small island, we were taking at times two completely contradictory approaches to lockdowns and managing our response to that pandemic. And that's because we had two different states, two different health ministers, and Northern Ireland couldn't afford to go into lockdown whenever the British government in London had decided they were going to open things up. So we are destroying our natural habitat because of climate change. That means you're seeing different species in closer proximity than they otherwise would be. That leads to zoonotic diseases, which are jumping from one species to another, which leads to more pandemics. So we're likely to see more pandemics going forward. And we really want to be able to take advantage of our topography as an island to be able to protect the most vulnerable. And the way we do that is by taking one approach across the island in the way that New Zealand did with their zero COVID approach. But to do that, we need to take an integrated approach, and we can't have differential approaches. So I think that for a transitional period to keep the Assembly, but for everyone, getting Unionists to get the benefits of United Ireland going forward, we have need to have an integrated approach.
Yeah. I assume, though, there would still be a rump of people who would set their face against this in any circumstances.
Well, the interesting thing is, if you look at the opinion polls, the amount of Unionists who now say that they would be irreconciled to United Ireland is decreasing all the time. I think I read a poll recently; it was only about 20% that would not be willing to accept it. And I think it's something. This is where it's really important to have these constitutional conversations, because I fully understand there can be fear and concerns, but the best way we can address fear and concerns is by treating people with respect. Talking about what our plans are, hearing their concerns, and doing everything we can to address those. But ultimately, we've got to go for, you don't need to be an economist to know that if you have two of something, it's less efficient and more expensive than having one of something. And we're effectively playing a partition tax, because we have duplication in terms of our health services, in terms of education, judiciary, all that kind of stuff. And the more that we can make things more efficient on an all-island basis, we can then address those concerns. And I think it is also about providing those safeguards and pointing out the safeguards there will be for rights and culture in the New Ireland.
Actually, on the economic point, in surveys here always find a large majority of people in favour of a United Ireland. But then when they ask them, well, are you prepared to pay for it? There's a lot more reluctance. Will this cost the Republic a fortune?
No, I don't think it will. John Doyle from Dublin City University has published a really good really good document called The Protected Public Finances of the Early Years of United Ireland. And his figures, he says the initial cost will be $3 billion in year one, and that depending on different scenarios, the entire transitional cost will be, Northern Ireland will be cost neutral by the end of a decade. And I think that does make a lot of sense, because essentially what you're talking about is You're taking Northern Ireland and you're adding it to the rest of Ireland. And whereas the South, in some ways, has got an overheating economy, the Northern Ireland has additional capacity. And by bringing the two parts together in a truly integrated and aligned manner, then there will be economic benefits for the entire Ireland. And I think across a whole series of measures in terms of addressing the housing crisis and providing good healthcare, we can do that better on an all-Ireland basis. But I some of these other costs that are talking about a much higher figure, that's whenever they're including things like the cost of the nuclear deterrent. They're talking about the cost of the UK national debt. Neither of those things are things that United Ireland would have a legal requirement to pay. And I think it won't be as expensive as is first envisaged, and there'll be a multiplier effect. Just to give an example, I was talking to a real estate investor from France in London in the last year, and he said to me, there are lots of real estate investors that are looking at the prospect of United Ireland and seeing that as a particularly the north and the border areas, but Ireland as a whole, as a really good investment opportunity, because they can see the economic benefits that will accrue from reunification. So I think there's a lot to be positive about, but the key thing is we've got to plan and prepare beforehand, and we've got to go for the right structures of government to get the real benefits out of it.
Ben Collins is the author of The Irish Unity Dividend. Ben, thanks a million.
Thank you, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hi there, it's News Talk's Andrea Gilligan here. This Black Friday, Mars Pharmacy is making wellness simple, and the savings are seriously impressive. It's the perfect time to look after your health from the inside out, starting with 25% off Simprove, the award-winning water-based supplement packed with billions of live and active bacteria to support gut balance, digestion and immunity. Because a healthy gut really does mean a healthier you. You can also save up to 35% on Zuki's liposomal vitamins, from collagen to vitamin C. They're your daily boost for glowing skin and immune support. And if you're plant-based, there's 25% off Dr. Vegan, bringing clean, effective nutrition with zero compromise. From gut health to glowing skin, Mars has everything you need to feel your best this winter. Shop these Black Friday wellness deals and more in-store or online now at mars.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.